Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Reiki Master and host Phyllis Lei Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And today, which is a couple of days after the inauguration of the United States' new president, Barack Obama, I think that there are lots of responses to that. I'm getting comments from around the world on my email, and it's interesting to notice what appeals in his message and what's a little scary in his message, and also what feels like a challenge for each of us, not just us in the United States, but in all over the world, to take responsibility for what's happening in our world around us, and to be able to connect with what's real, what's of value to us, and to let go of some of the more tempting, but sometimes not very long-lasting temptations of, should I say the word, materialism. So I don't know if this has anything to do with today's show, but it just felt like I wanted to put that in anyway, because it has had an impact on all of us, his election and his inauguration as the president for right now. So today I have on this air with me Paul Mitchell. This is his third appearance on the radio show. The first time was during the talks on spiritual practice, which were really valuable to me because of his long history with the Catholic Church and his own education in philosophy, his musings on spiritual practice and whether or not Reiki was and is a spiritual practice. And then we had him on just a few weeks ago because he is one of the masters that Hawaii Otakata initiated and is acquainted with most of the masters that she initiated or had contact with them somehow. And that was a really beautiful show. And now he's on the air as his current role in the community, we might say, is named the head of the discipline. And this recognition of his came from the master community, especially those who were in the Reiki Alliance at the time, which was about 16 years ago. And during this time, this title, Head of the Discipline, has become something that we all understand through our own experience, but not necessarily be able to articulate. So maybe we'll ask him a little bit about that and with himself. But during this, in this role, he's been able to travel around the world to talk about Reiki, to meet many masters and many students. And it is my great pleasure to be able to tap his vision of what Reiki is in the world and if there is, in fact, something that we might call the Reiki movement. Welcome, Paul.
Oh, thank you.
What an introduction, eh?
Yeah, what an introduction. It's good to be here.
So just, dive right in. So would you say, I don't know what the definition is of Reiki movement. Would you say that there is a Reiki movement in the world?
In the question that you asked as a theme for this, I was taken by the way you phrase that, the Reiki movement. And just being with that, I feel definitely there is a Reiki movement in the world. That's the only answer I could give. Definitely.
Uh-huh. So what does that mean to you, a Reiki movement?
Well, so I wasn't ready for that question, but what's clear to me is that Reiki, as a practice, has been moving out into the world at a phenomenal pace.
Mm-hmm.
So just in that sense, just from the fact that when I first learned Reiki and the number of people there were in the world that were practicing Reiki at that time, and, you know, the two countries, basically, or three countries where Reiki was practiced, and now, you know, I couldn't even guess how many countries Reiki is in. But I would say I've had direct contact with at least 40 countries or people from 40 countries where Reiki is being practiced. So there is this phenomenal spread or just movement of this practice out into the world that just keeps going. So, you know, if we just take this simple definition of movement, Reiki is moving through the world, throughout the world, and continues to do so.
Uh-huh. And there is another, let's see, I don't know quite how to say this, but there is another, of course, implication in this Reiki movement, as you described it, just as a matter of people being initiated and the big wave in the 1980s of this enormous amount of people, from a few thousand people to probably tens of thousands of people in 10 years. And then now, Jürgen Kindler was on the phone on the interview with us last week, and he estimates that there could be 30 million people in Germany practicing Reiki.
Wow.
I mean, that's awesome.
That is.
And that's just Germany. So when we think about that and the implication of what happens with our Reiki, within our own individual Reiki practice, imagine that happening to these millions of people all over the world, and will that shift a consciousness that will affect not only our daily lives, but perhaps our political and social lives also? And that, for me, is another edge or definition, perhaps, of this word movement.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just wondering if in your feeling, if there could be such a thing.
Well, I have to say that I think so. You know, in thinking about this topic and our time together today, I asked myself the question: well, why is this movement in terms of spread at that level first so quickly? The conclusion that I came to was that there has been, you know, kind of a history of our getting to varying degrees disconnected from our essential self. You know, like, it's one sense kind of working more on the horizontal level of things and my experience of Reiki is that it is this connection on a vertical level. So it connects us to the part of us that I would call, well, it connects our soul or spirit to spirit greater than us or outside of us or source of life. I feel that there's been kind of a movement away in some way, you know, through the Industrial Revolution and the Information Age, and, you know, people getting more and more disconnected kind of from their work, working on assembly lines, going through two world wars that our parents experienced, and, you know, all these things that, in one sense, would scare us, you know, kind of core of our being. how do we deal with that fear of things that are happening that are just too big for us?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I feel like my experience of Reiki, it's like, okay, it's this connection with what I would call the, you know, the vertical connection with, you know, some people would call it God or spirit or, you know, universal, the source of universal life, or, you know, everybody might have their own word or just feeling for that. But
mm-hmm.
but that connection is, I feel, is moving us back to, you know, a greater balance in our humanity, so that my vision or hope, or it's more than vision, I think it's actually faith, that or different from vision, maybe faith, that that the practice of Reiki brings us more in balance kind of with the nature of our being on all
mm-hmm.
levels, and so the effect has to be positive, has to be good, I would say. Did that connect with your question?
I'm not sure. part of what's happening, Paul, I just want to check this out with you,
uh-huh.
is that your voice tone is sometimes hard to pick up. You're very clear one moment, and then in the next moment it drops down. So I don't know if this is a technical thing about speaking into the phone or moving your head, if you're talking into a mouthpiece or what. But if you could just check on that, that would be great.
Okay.
And I think so this is what I got, the disconnection of us as individual human beings to the source, to our spirituality, to the greater whole, has been perhaps initiated and certainly propelled by the Industrial Revolution and our IT age and so on and so on. And what we're all looking for is something to connect us with spirit. And Reiki gives us this possibility, very simply. Would you say that that's a good summary of what you said?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, good. It's time for a station break, so we're going to come right back. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Have you heard of resonance repatterning? Your own vibrating patterns of energy affect everything in your life. Your habits, actions, thoughts, how you feel, the kind of people and jobs you attract or don't attract. Join Chloe Faith Wordsworth every Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific for Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy and for a whole new understanding of yourself and the self-healing that is possible through resonance repatterning. Living in Tune, Turn Your Problems into Joy is heard each week on the Seventh Wave Network.
Are you looking for more than just pop culture astrology? Do you have questions about astrology and what it's all about? Join us every week for Sirius Star Talk, an inside look at the field of astrology and how it influences our world. Host Norma Jean Ream wants to create a voice for intelligent astrology. We'll explore current events through the lens of astrology with some of today's most knowledgeable astrologers. You'll get great information about politics, economics, business, and social trends. Sirius Star Talk can be heard every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network. Listen to the intelligent side of astrology.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm with Paul Mitchell today, and we're exploring the possibility or the concept or the or recognizing that there is something called the Reiki movement. So I have really enjoyed our discussion about the definition of movement, and if we both agree that there is a Reiki movement that actually has a philosophic tone and a spiritual connection, then the next question for me, Paul, to you is, what are the gifts then that this movement offers an individual and perhaps our planetary society?
Well, the first gift that I would say that Reiki offers is this clear sense of connectedness with spirit, and I use spirit in the broadest sense of non-material, life, energy, movement, that which holds all of life and all of being and sustains it. So that. Just that, this kind of connection, where I would say, the person can say, just this sigh of often happens in a Reiki treatment, where a person will suddenly, after a few minutes of treatment, you can just feel this sigh that feels like it goes through them of safety and okay and being able to let down and being held and trusting maybe life, oneself, spirit. I think that is like this very fundamental, basic gift.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it's like if I have that, in one sense, I say, when I get up from the table after my treatment, I think I look at my life with more light in my eyes. There's more faith or more trust. So it takes me out of this, position of worry and protection and how do I make everything work and how do we deal with this problem, that problem, to seeing things in a lighter way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the basis for me of this gift. And then I think, it takes us then into, here's my observation, is that you articulated these four aspects of Reiki: healing practice, personal development, spiritual discipline, mystic order. So it moves us, or we are moved and recognize these different positive unfoldings in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's like if I'm a kinder person, everybody benefits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm a more sensitive, loving person, everybody benefits. If I feel safe and can, you know, stand in my life in a softer way, everybody benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, then we also have the principles that then, you know, give us a focus. Okay, well, pay attention when you worry. Pay attention to your anger. What's, you know, what's cooking? And you know, honor your place. And, you know, honor those that came before. And so on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it gives us this frame, kind of guidance to also focus our attention to, you know, create in our life or recreate in our life these feelings of safety, held, trust, faith in life that are the gifts kind of the practice of being in the experience of receiving Reiki or giving Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
And we can, you know, then we, you say, oh, yeah, I want more of this. How do I do it? Well, here's
mm-hmm.
guidance.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm interested in this, in your sort of, how should I say, focus on safety, because I feel that this is really, these times in the last few months and certainly in the next years in the United States and and for sure in waves in different places all over the world, that our safety is being threatened because the, you know, our social and monetary institutions are not as secure as we thought they were. So I'm wondering if this will shift our response to losing thousands of dollars in the stock market or feeling like we might not have a job tomorrow or whatever. I mean, I'm just wondering if we can apply that pragmatically to the situation and shift, I mean, I suppose this is a very idealistic point of view, and shift our response to what's happening instead of being fear-based, to being based on we can do it, we just have to see what's possible and take the steps.
Uh-huh.
And I think that that's Barack Obama's message. And I think that it's a very interesting one. It's a shift from looking at the world in fear and then going to protection. There's another response here that's being called out in us, and that is to say, let's have confidence, let's have our own safety inside of ourselves, and be able to project that and be able to know that we are capable of shifting while our whole way of life is being threatened.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. So if we can do that, and if Reiki has a part in creating a foundation that's possible to do that within individuals, I'd say that was a huge gift.
Yes. I mean, absolutely. And I appreciate your kind of your connecting this with the you know, the our new administration and our new president, because it, as you were speaking, it was like what I heard was, well, my experience in the past has been leadership calling up fear.
Uh-huh.
You know, okay, well, you know, all of us know how to be afraid. You know, tell me there's something to be afraid of. Okay. You know, it's like it gets called up. And this leadership is saying, no, let's not call up fear. Let's call up our strengths. Let's mm-hmm. call up our connectedness to others. Let's call up our collective power, to live the ideals of our country, which are and I would say, Reiki also supports this process, because in my own practice, I can be in a fearful, worried state, and get Reiki, and that state shifts, and I go, oh. So now can I, kind of recognize when I get caught in fear and worry about, is my next workshop going to go, is the price of gas going to go up again so that I'm having trouble making ends meet, to, calling up, instead of the fear, calling up trust.
Mm-hmm.
So I internalize it also.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the also gifts of Reiki, is that it helps us internalize that structure of, calling up trust, faith, our capacities, to make a difference, and also, I feel like I have this choice. I have this choice all the time. When I'm freaked out, I can go to the fear, and my mind is really good at then creating all kinds of scenarios and imagining, how things could possibly get worse, and I have that capacity. At the same time, I also have the capacity to go to this place of trust, and saying, in one sense, it's whatever happens, good can come, and I can participate in that. I can be an active participant in that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's another interesting point. Whatever happened, good can come, because that's certainly one of the major lessons for me in my practice with Reiki, and I don't know if it's so much of a Pollyanna kind of attitude, but certainly one that calls out creativity rather than sort of desolation. So at this point, we're also ready for another station break. We'll be back with that thought after a few moments. Moto with Reiki, balancing form and essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Are you looking for an open and honest psychic radio show? One that puts everything on the table and pushes the envelope? Are you looking for a psychic radio show that goes beyond spirituality in an entertaining and educational way? Well, check out Christina Predicts. This radio program is where the psychic meets Romper Room. In addition to Christina's readings, we'll discuss soulmates, energy, clairvoyance, feng shui, and much more. Christina Predicts is heard every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here with Paul Mitchell, and we're talking about and exploring the gifts that our individual practice has brought to us and how these could be seen as a part of the Reiki movement, in the sense of this movement having a philosophic and social active basis for people to really rely on during times of uncertainty. And certainly, I think in our lives, this last 6 months has been a something that has really rattled a few cages for us. So the thing that really struck me in our conversation just before the break was this thing about, whatever happens, good will come. And that certainly is true for me, because in my own practice, what I've seen is that my fear or avoidance of death, for instance, is allows me to feed into a place where there isn't good that will come. But so many people have taught me, on their deathbeds, literally, that there is good that comes, and that death is not the enemy. It's not the failure that we were brought up to believe, but it is a part of the creativity of life itself. And the shift in that particular paradigm is huge.
Yeah,
I think. So then, can we then let go of our fear of survival, in order to see what is being asked of us individually and also as a society? So I'm wondering, I just go back to a kind of interesting thing that happened to me in Spain. I was visiting with two young business people who both have Reiki. Their mother is a Reiki master, and this is in Madrid. And I was saying, with all the stuff that's happening, global warming, the financial structures are very shaky. There's lots of things that are going on, like the wars and so on. Do you find that you're kind of sitting around feeling hopeless sometimes? And they said, absolutely not. That their trust in the creativity of their generation is total and implicit, that they believe that they will find a way to meet each problem as it comes up. And I thought that to be an incredibly optimistic point of view, but also in light of this theme of, good will come of whatever happens, it's a great, it's a really a promise of the next generation to us who are fearful of change sometimes, us older generation. Certainly, I would like the world to have stayed the same as 40 years ago, but of course it's not.
Yeah.
So what do you think about all that?
Well, I, on the one hand, I love this optimism, in terms of the creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's like I would like to dialogue a little more with those, you know, to people to see, like, well, does it mean that you're going to be able to fix everything? And it, for me, it's kind of like at my age, I'm more looking at what if something isn't fixed? Is it still okay?
Yes, good question.
Can I really keep pushing and broadening that faith that whatever happens is okay, that whatever happens is good? And you know, I feel like my individual practice of Reiki and the people that I've treated and people that I know, you know, it keeps reinforcing that, keeps pushing that capacity to expand our definition of what is good, our definition of what is embraceable, as opposed to, you know, resisted or, you know, put us into that fear place or hopeless place.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes to a Reiki treatment for a specific physical thing, and maybe that changes, but it's also very interesting when it doesn't change, but their relationship to their life, living with that fact, that situation, changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they soften and are able to embrace kind of what is. And for me, it's like that's my ongoing challenge and edge. But over the years, it's like what I realize is recognizing that that's my edge is really useful.
You know? Right.
Because then I can pay attention in the moment.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to shift the conversation a little bit, if we may, to a kind of panorama over the years. When you found yourself dedicated to the practice of Reiki and became a master and, you know, moved your home to Idaho to be a Reiki master and to see what that was like, you know, could you have imagined during that time that you would come to this place of where you are now, you know, through this practice? And have you seen patterns through these last 30 years of the progression echoed in your own life, or maybe, echoed in your own life with Reiki?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Well, and could I have imagined it? No.
No? Oh, you're checking.
I'm kind of a simple guy, you know? So kind of imagining the spread of Reiki, imagining where it would take me, both kind of out into the world, but also internally, no. Maybe I just didn't, you know, I didn't sit down and kind of think that way. What I see in my own pattern has been reflected in. And again, I go back to your articulation of the four aspects, you know, the things that Reiki just shows us in our practice. So, for example, I went from this place of kind of wanting to heal all these physical things to realizing that, there's a lot of Paul that is really unexplored and unknown, and I'm being driven by a lot of unconscious things that I'm not even aware of, and Reiki seemed to just keep kind of pushing me, you know, deeper into seeing and then, you know, choosing to deal with those things, so that began little by little to let go of the self-limiting beliefs and the knee-jerk reactions, you know, of a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old or whatever that were just you know, my style. And so this part of personal development, and then next seeing, oh, okay, here are gifts that are totally unexplored. Let's explore them. Oh, I don't know. This is pretty scary. I don't want to go do that. I don't feel prepared, you know, and feeling supported in stepping into the places where I didn't feel prepared because that was the only place to learn.
Uh-huh.
You know, and again, with that sense of trust. Yeah. And so, and I, you know, I have to say that I mean, it's a pattern of development that I see reflected in the Reiki world of people who practice, you know. And also, it's like there's this capacity to hold others more kindly and with less judgment and in their kind of individuality, idiosyncratic mm-hmm. as it may be, you know.
Right.
So that's another part of it. It's like, oh, well, we're in this together, and I want to be able to hold myself through this process. Be really cool if I could learn to hold others, because I also want to be held.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I
mm-hmm.
want to be given this space and support and encouragement and criticism, you know,
mm-hmm.
the times where I can hear it. So there is, well, this is another theme, I think, in the new movement, and this is something you put your finger on very early on, which was, you know, this coming together, this community, this idea of, well, let's share our journey. Let's try to learn how to support one another in this so we don't have to go it alone. And at the same time, you know, we receive the benefits of other people's experience. And at the same time, you know, just working together is kind of the grist for the mill, you know, the polish of ourselves. And you know, that's another thing that I see, is that we're drawn together.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we move on to, you know, our, you know, spiritual discipline where, I mean, for me, I think I at some point I discovered, you know, to work out some of my personal development stuff, I have to make myself and what I'm feeling at this moment the most important thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Once I did that, kind of spiritual discipline side, I thought, okay, now I have to give that up. It's not the most important thing in the world.
Great. Well, it's time for a station break. Sorry to interrupt your thought. We'll be back in just a few moments with Paul Mitchell. This is Phyllis Kurumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
What I Want to Be When I Grow Up by Johnny Mike.
Dad, it's John. I got the promotion.
We'll call him John Jr.
You'll speak over 500 million words in your lifetime, but none of them will be as important as the words you use to tell your six-year-old he has cancer. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Are you ready to enter the Psychic Cafe? Most of us believe in the healing power of meditation, but how can we fit it into our daily lives? What are our spirit guides trying to tell us? What are chakras, and what secrets do they hold in our lives? Are there really ghosts? Should we be afraid of them? These questions and more will be explored in the Psychic Cafe with host Mary Salpi, a renowned psychic and medium. Here to help you, the Psychic Cafe. Heard Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand.
Oh,
no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And wonderfully, we have a caller on the line. Her name is Claudia. She's from Italy, and she has a great question. Claudia, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, Phyllis. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. So, please ask your question for the listeners.
Okay. I was listening to your sharing in this transmission, and I have this question for you both. How can support people, the figure of the master or the teacher of Reiki, in the situation of passing them the faith, the trust, the safety that you were talking about, beyond saying them practice Reiki? Is it clear, my question?
I'll reiterate it to make sure. How can I, as a master, support the students to have this faith and trust and the safety that we were talking about in more ways than just saying trust in Reiki? Would you say that's your question?
Yeah, and in more ways than even saying to them, practice Reiki.
Practice Reiki. Okay. Paul?
Yes. So one of the things that I feel was very important for me to start on this path of trust was the experience that I had with my teacher, Hawaii Takata, which was that she embodied that trust and that faith in Reiki and in me as a student. That was very powerful in my life. It gave me the ground, kind of the support, to practice without fear. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in my own teaching, I try to do that in a number of different ways so that students have an opportunity to practice, and then if they have questions, if they have, reactions, the things that scare them a little bit, that they don't understand what's happening, that all of that is brought forward so I can respond to it in a way of building their trust in the goodness of what's happening for them. So giving them a context where they can hold what is happening in their practice of Reiki in a trustful manner. And then being available to them to, answer those other questions or those other concerns that come up. And I feel like one of the most important things is really how I embody that myself and how I keep practicing it and how I keep developing that trust in myself, because I find in relationship with students and in teaching, it's like that's one of the greatest gifts. It's like if the student sincerely gets from me that I'm telling the truth and the truth has some depth about being able to trust, And whatever situation they come up with, I'm willing to hold it and respond to it in a way that nurtures the trust. I think that's very, very helpful. Phyllis, do you have something you'd like to add?
Your answer is pretty complete for me. I would just say that on one level, there isn't another way to instill this trust in your students except to say, practice Reiki, because only until they practice and they receive their own experiences will they begin to trust. On the other hand, they can be supported in trust by the energetic surety that their master practices, their master surrenders to Reiki, and their master practices Reiki themselves in a way that really provides a foundation for that master's life. And it gives that sentence, practice Reiki, some substance. So it's not just, you do it, but I don't need to. You know, for me, in my own ideal world, we're all students of Reiki, and Reiki, the energy, is the teacher. So I can provide what I would call senior student encouragement to a beginner, and that's one of my roles, I feel like, as a master. Does that address your question?
Oh, well, pretty good, but I have another question that is coming up on the line.
Okay, we just have a few more minutes, so if you could say it quickly, that would be great.
Okay, and so you were talking about the movement of Reiki all around,
huh?
All around the world, and so you can say, can you say that this role of a Reiki master, a Reiki teacher, is fundamental to hold the lines of this movement around the world for the students and for also the Reiki master, the student themselves too?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would say so. That there's a, I feel like there's this networking, energetic network that happens. And no matter what the practice is, there is a general network that happens just because a person is very dedicated to the practice. And then there are specific networks within that network that allow it to be stronger because, of course, each specific network will relate more intimately and more energetically toward people who practice similarly to themselves. What do you think about that, Paul?
That's very clear to me, Phyllis. Yeah.
Well, how about you, Claudia? Did that work for you? Did that answer your question, address your question?
Yes, a lot. Thank you.
Great. Wonderful.
I really appreciate what you were saying and answering to me. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for calling in.
Okay. I'll let
okay.
you go with the final of your show. Thank you
okay.
very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So we're in the last few minutes of this broadcast, and I wanted to get, which is wonderful, she did a great job of leading into this. So if we are a network with masters holding the main part of the matrix, for instance, and students filling in the interior of the matrix, then for me, if Reiki is a movement, if we have this matrix, then can we take this next step now as a movement, as individuals in a movement, to be proactive, you know, with our Reiki? Because this is something that has been a great question in a lot of people, and that is, well, you know, we help ourselves, we send Reiki to each other, we do all this for each other. What about all the other people in the world? And I'm just wondering, Paul, what do you think about this question? What about all the other people in the world?
Well, I think it's a great question. I mean, what about all the other people in the world? I was after the Hurricane Katrina, I read this article about these people that went into the community just to kind of help out, just to, you know, bit of medical training, and I thought, oh, well, shoot, why aren't we pedaling on our bicycles, offering Reiki? And it was just one little example, but I think your question about how to be proactive is really one to chew on more consciously.
The cue music was so loud that I couldn't hear you.
Oh.
It's really sad. So I guess that this is the end of our time together. I'm sure you said something very profound. I will trust that, and that's part of my safety. And we got to sign off for now. Thank you very much for being on the show.
You're welcome, Phyllis. It was delightful. Thank you for the wonderful topic and the stimulation.
You're welcome. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the 7th Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.